Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen, and we are continuing our doctrine series. What's up, friend?
Hey, hey, how's it going?
Going pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, how are you? How's life?
Oh, life is pretty great. In the thick of wedding planning, I was trying to think through of what I said and we talked about last time. I was trying to go back to when we actually recorded, and I don't think I had gone to try on wedding dresses before that. And so I might have mentioned that I was going to that weekend, but that was fun. And we got to FaceTime you. So you got to be a part of it, even from Texas. So and that was that so was much so fun.
Your sweet friends. I'm like, just prop me up on a computer. And the amount of people walking by as you're trying on dresses, staring at me. I'm like,
oh. You're like, hi. But I'm very thankful for technology that you were able to be a part of that. So I did that, and then it's just been, you know, work and the normal church responsibilities. My nephew had his senior night that we went to.
I cannot believe that.
I know, for basketball. And so that was a lot of fun to get to go and watch him play and watch them honor all the seniors. And they even honored like the seniors from the other team, which I thought was so cute.
So
like they had this little like gift bag. I don't know what was in it, but they got like all the seniors that were on the basketball team and like announced their names and gave them a little gift bag, which I thought was super sweet.
I love that.
And then they did like the seniors filled out their form of like where the like their future plans and where they're going to school and their favorite high school memory, that kind of stuff. And then each parent wrote a letter to their senior. And so I was given charge of recording. So I got the unique privilege of watching my brother try to keep it under control, but kind of fail at it. So it was really funny. but it was a lot
of fun. I cannot imagine how I will be when my kids graduate. Because like, we write letters to the kids for like milestones at the church. So like from kindergarten to first grade, our preschool to our elementary ministry, and then from elementary to junior high, like we all write. And I cry every single time. I cannot imagine what it will be like when it's graduation
that senior
time.
Year. Yeah.
Oh boy.
So that's kind of been the last couple weeks over here. How about for you? What's been going on over there?
Been a bit of a blur.
Right? That's kind of how I felt when I was kind of going over with Matthew. I was like, oh, I got to record. Oh, what have I done this last couple of weeks? Like, what's my life update?
Bit of a blur. I don't even know where to begin. I just had, you know, I took a really good break from like Thanksgiving through the new year. With a lot of my responsibilities that I have at the church. And so now I'm kind of playing catch up, and then like we're kicking off things for the spring and the summer. And so I'm so incredibly blessed to be able to do these things, but it's just like all at one time, you know? Yeah. And so it's just been a lot of, like this week has been filled with like so many meetings, and man, my kids are so amazing. Like I had to take them a lot of times. And they're just so like, they're so gracious to me. Like mommy has a meeting, you know, homeschool mom problems. And then our church will like, I had a meeting like all day yesterday. And so the church bought them Chick-fil-A, and my kids thought that was the best thing ever. So it's been good. It's just been really, you know, like head down and one foot in front of the other. And, I feel it's been really sweet because like my husband got really sick this week. And so I had a lot of time in the evening, or at night, I should say, when my kids are asleep and he was in bed, and just to spend time with the Lord. And, you know, we'll get to it in a second, but we're reading through the Bible in a year. And so the Lord was just so kind to like remind me of some things of like, hey, like, I see you, you know, I see you, you're not alone, and I'm with you. And so, yeah, I don't know. I felt really refreshed. Not that I'm not like still in the trenches of busyness and life, but like, who's not, you know?
Yeah. I was going to say, that's just like normal, right? Yep.
Who's not? And so, yeah, that's where I've been. And, you know, like our listeners, won't know this, but like we recorded 2 episodes this week. And so it's been a lot of like trying to coordinate with like special guests and having, you know, notes. And like, we are very intentional with, the things that we do. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know. I got to see you twice this week though, through Zoom. I mean, so that's good.
That's not the worst, right?
Not the worst.
speaking of reading through the Bible, that is, we want to catch up on what we've been reading. Again, still super encouraged to see how many people are involved and continuing to read and participate with us as we read through the Bible. So what is like one or two things that you've kind of taken away from the Bible reading for the last couple weeks?
Yeah. So whenever we finished last time, we were finishing Job and heading back to Genesis. And Job is all, you know, I'm up and down when I read Job.
Yeah.
And I'm finding Genesis isn't that different. Like, man, the Old Testament, goodness. I posted, if you follow us on our social media, I kind of posted the things that the Lord was showing me yesterday, day before. I don't remember. It's all a blur, like I said. But one of the things I've noticed when we are talking with like Abraham, Isaac, and like now we're into like Jacob and Joseph, which is how messy everything is. Like, it's messy and it's broken, but God continues to work through the brokenness, like through broken people and broken situations to accomplish his plan. And specifically, like I like when I was kind of spending time with the Lord last night, and specifically Genesis 39, I read over it and I was like, it really is like the phrase specifically, the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with him. The Lord caused all. The Lord blessed him. Blessings of the Lord. I mean, just in one chapter, it was over and over and over again. And it just reminded me that like, one, man, he's sovereign. Like, he's controlling all of it, which kind of leads to like one of our topics today. But also I was really struck by the fact that like, whenever Joseph was in Egypt, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, because his promise was with Joseph, right? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob was with Joseph. And it just reminded me that, you know, God's, he's provider. Like, he meets the needs of his children, whether you're in a pit in jail or whether you're high in the court a Pharaoh, like God provides and he's sovereign. And so that's kind of where I'm at right now. We know where this story goes, you know, but like, I'm resting in that. Like, I wanted to keep reading because I was like, everyone's favorite verse is like, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to get to that part. So I'm like, you know, double hands in the air cheering. But like right now we're resting in this tension of like, what's going to happen with the rest of Joseph's brothers. So I'm trying really hard not to get ahead, but yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm really enjoying this. This has been really fun. I'm like, you know, what is this? The day 26? We're like day 20, yeah, 25, 26 right now. So, I have really enjoyed spending time in God's word. I do it all the time, but it's always for other responsibilities and to just do it with like, what is the Lord going to show me about himself? It's been really cool. So yeah. What about you?
Yeah. So, if any of you all were following along with, kind of who has been completing and who hasn't, because I think everyone can see that, you'll have noticed that I fell a couple days behind. And so, I was trying to catch up because
not that I don't love that, but
right.
But you're not the only one.
That's life. Yeah. So if you've fallen behind, that's okay. You have 2 options. You can either read through everything that you have not read and catch up, or you can start up from whatever day we're on and read that day, and then maybe go back and read another day. And if you have like 4 or 5 or several days, you can kind of start working through them that way and like doing the current day and then maybe the another day leading up to it. Because most likely you kind of already know the stories and where they're going, right? Yep. But one of the things, and maybe it was because I was sitting down and kind of trying, I read several chapters in a row, and in preparation for our topic for tonight, was similar to what you were pointing out, was just God's sovereignty and his, how he provides and orchestrates things, especially in the life of Joseph, right? Like the life of Joseph is just very interesting to me. I don't think I realized how many chapters was dedicated to the life of Joseph. Like it's a lot of chapters in Genesis. So it kind of makes me think like, okay, what are we like, what is the point of Joseph's story? And there's a lot of different things that you can apply for sure in that. But one of the biggest ones is just his sovereignty and how he, again, knowing the end of the story, how like seeing how things are going, knowing that the end of the story, how it's going to turn out, that God is working things all for his plan. And it's so encouraging to watch that and to see how Joseph interacts in like those big milestone moments that we get in there, right? Like when he's accused of with Potiphar's wife, where Potiphar's wife accuses him and he goes to jail. Joseph didn't know the end of the story then. And yet he was still chose to be faithful to God and knew that, you know, this is where I'm at. And so I'm still going to continue to make the decisions that will ultimately glorify God and will please God. And so just as you travel through his story, remember it, like, as I remember that, because like you said, we can get very easily to like knowing what the end of the story is going to be like. And so we're like, well, of course, Joseph was going to make that decision because ultimately he's going to be in this high place and he's going to get to, you know, spoiler alert, get to see his brothers come back, you know, and all of that aspect. But in the moment, he didn't know that when he had to make those decisions, he didn't know that. He didn't know if he was going to spend the rest of his life in jail. Like that very well could have been a thing. So it was just very encouraging to recognize that and to be able to be reminded of that, but then also to see God's hand as he was orchestrating and just weaving everything together.
Yeah. I love that. So that's two episodes now where we talked about God's attributes and we were like, we see God's sovereignty throughout this.
Yeah.
And I love that. And that's the perfect segue into our episode for today.
So
last episode.
Yeah.
A couple
we
weeks
do
ago,
that all the time.
It eventually, like it.
Eventually we're going to make this into a weekly podcast. Yeah. I don't know how, but eventually we probably will because the number of times that we say last week.
Last episode, we talked about the doctrine of revelation. And we want to be very specific. This is where Growing Grace stands on things. So for every single doctrine, we want to have like a statement. Kind of like a statement of faith. This is where we are. So doctrine of revelation, we said, we believe that the Bible is authoritative and without error. It's perfectly trustworthy because we have a perfectly trustworthy God. So today,
amen.
So today we're going to cover kind of two in one. They kind of go together. So we're going to talk about the doctrine of creation and providence. So I'm going to give one definition to kind of cover both. And then as we get into each topic, we'll kind of tease it out a little better. So the first definition that I just want to give out is God created the world from nothing and governs all things at all times in all places, which we would say would be he's sovereign, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's in control.
That's the doctrine of providence or sovereignty.
Yep. God created the world from nothing and governs all things at all times and all places. So first, we are going to talk about the doctrine of creation. Do you want to lead us into that?
Sure. I totally thought you were going to say, do you want to lead us in prayer? And I was like, do we do that?
I mean,
the way
can.
You said that, I was like,
God, I mean, wants to talk
prayer
about
is good. But hilarious. That's kind of a weird place to put it. Sorry. Okay. Can we blame it on it being late?
Yes, we can. Always.
So what I'm going to, I feel like we always do.
We always
okay.
Do.
I will lead us into the doctrine of specifically creation. So we know that the triune God that scripture tells us that he created and governs the world by the power of his word, right?
Yeah.
When we talk about creation, regardless of whether what, you know, I know there's a lot of theories of creation out there and, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people land in a lot of different places. But it is very clear that God is the one who did the creating. And it is a very much a distinction between the creator and the creature, right?
Mm-hmm.
God is the creator and he is set apart from his creation, which is
transcendent.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm pointing at her. You guys can't see that.
Yeah.
And God mm-hmm. is the creator and he is also near to his creation,
mm-hmm.
which is he's imminent. Also mm-hmm. An attribute. Two yeah. attributes that I don't think we covered.
Correct. There's so many.
I know there were so many.
I don't think so.
But no, I don't think we did. But yeah. It does go back to his attributes, correct?
Yeah.
But we see for sure the Trinity in the creation.
I love it so much. Yeah. Yeah. You see, in all things, we see the Trinity. So many times they're all it's all working together. But specifically, if we're looking at scripture and we're like, what is where do we see the roles of the Trinity, right? So you have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And so if we're talking about the Father, you know, First Corinthians 8:6 says, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist. And one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. Mm-hmm. And then you go to Colossians 1:15-16, and we'll put these in the show notes because there's a lot of scripture today, but it says, oh, I love this verse so much. It says, he, talking about Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And then in Genesis 1:2, you see the Spirit, right? The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So God created all that is, and we would say he was completely satisfied within himself.
Mm-hmm.
The Trinity was completely satisfied, lacking nothing, wanting nothing. But he, out of an overflow of his love, all things came into existence and he created, mm-hmm. Which is really humbling when you think about it, right? And so,
absolutely.
Yeah. If we are talking about creation, this was really helpful to me. Someone once told me, if we're going to know our telos, like our end, we have to know our beginning. You can't consider the end. Everyone, I grew up in fundamentalism and I can't tell you the amount of revelation I heard, like the amount of like talking about the end times and yeah. Christ's return
and trying and like, to predict man, it and like, man, oh, but this prophecy was just like fulfilled. And so everything's like,
and I still hear this, like we're living in the end times, all these signs are coming. And I'm like, can I tell you, friend, when Jesus ascended to heaven, we were living in the end times,
right?
Like we've been in the end times. This is not new. So this is really helpful when you're studying your Bible, to look at it this way. Genesis 1 is like creation, from a 30,000 foot view. And then like Genesis 2 is creation from like breathing distance, which is really helpful, I think. 'Cause like I know specifically, I homeschool. And so both of my kids, kind of like at the very beginning, like kindergarten, we talk about creation, right? And Emma's like, I just talked about this. and Genesis 1. And I'm like, I'm not as intimate as you are right now. So that's a really good way, I think, to look at it. It's like Genesis 1 is like creation from 30,000 feet. And then Genesis 2 is like up close and personal. And like, this is what happened. And that's really, really sweet. And like you said, there are so many views of creation. And then when we went, I guess it was like our, when you were here and we did our teaser, we were talking about theological triage and like first order issues and second order issues and things like that. And so, Kristen, I think it'd be helpful maybe if you wanted to talk about like, what are some first order issues of like, we believe that like, this is what you believe about creation.
Yeah. So there are some things that we would consider first order issues, as you said, that absolutely, without a doubt, we would have to agree on to be able to claim the same gospel.
Yeah. That's really good.
One of those is that God is the sole creator of all there is. The second is that he is distinct from his creation. He was not created. He is not a created being. There is no beginning to him. He is distinct from his creation, that God created without strain or difficulty.
He just said,
yeah, it was just by his word that it came into existence. He didn't like labor or, you know, struggle or strain. The historicity of Adam and Eve being soul and body.
I actually didn't know that that was a thing that people disagreed on, but like it is. And like without Adam and Eve, like you wouldn't have like sin or like original sin and there'd be no need for a savior. Like that is a non-negotiable.
And then the last one would be the Imago Dei, right? That we are made in the image of God, which we will get to on another episode.
And it's more so good.
But yeah, so those would be the like main things, first order issues that in order to claim the same gospel, we would say that those things would have to be, we would have to agree upon those.
Yeah. Yeah. We would say, you know, if we're talking about back to you first, our very, one of our very first episodes, I guess, you know, we're talking about the aseity of God. Like he is self-existent and self-sufficient. He was never like, there was never a beginning and he doesn't need anything. And that's like really hard for our human brains to understand. And that he's eternal and he's the only eternal being. We all have a beginning, you know? And so those are,
and we all will have an end.
We'll all have an end. Those are two attributes that we could see a lot of things, you know, how creative he is, but those are two attributes that we see of God in the creation order. And so everything God made is good and for his glory. He left his own mark upon his creation in such a way that Psalms 19 would say the heavens declare his glory and the firmament shows his handiworks. And so, you know, we believe that the triune God created a good world to dwell with his people. And that also our next episode, we kind of talk about that too. We've already recorded it because we had a guest and it's really good that we believe that everything God created was good prior to sin ending, entering into the world. Everything was good. And so that's, I think that's really important.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we see that in the creation story, correct? And the account of the creation, he makes things and he says that it is good. And then, you know, he makes Adam and he says, this is very good. You know, it just, he says that.
All right. You ready for the second one?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to put in a little caveat at the beginning. Okay. And I want it to be very clear. And so if I don't word this well, Kristen can explain it better because she does that often for me. We don't want our listeners to always agree with us 100%. Our goal is that we will show you God, show you the gospel, and that you will study for yourself and the Holy Spirit will show you what to believe. And so a lot of these, like not a lot of these doctrines, but some doctrines, we don't have to agree on to be brothers and sisters in Christ and to show charity. That's like the number one thing for me, is that we will be charitable and not jerks.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes like the doctrine of providence, to me, when I look at it, I'm like, we would all agree with this, but then there are some that are like, I'll agree with it to a certain extent. And so,
right.
I want to lead in with this to say, hey, we will be charitable. And I would love to have discussions, but they will be done in love, and to know that you can believe it, in the providence of God, and we can be brothers and sisters in Christ and not get into the nuts and bolts, you know?
Yeah.
So with that said, the very specific definition that we have for the for providence would be God's continued care and governance over the whole of his creation. God doesn't just let the world exist. He makes it exist. And also, God doesn't take risks, which means that we can't mess up his plan.
Yeah.
And that's really comforting, I think. I think it's really comforting to, like, no matter what I do, I don't have, especially the way I was brought up, no matter what I do, I don't have, I mean, I can't be perfect. I don't have to strive for perfection. I can't mess God's plan up.
Yeah.
And that's really encouraging.
For sure. I think we would also say that within this doctrine of providence is that God is a God who stays, or the God who stays. He created the universe and everything in it, and then he didn't just back off and abandon it and just say, okay, it's yours now, you know, like, I'm done, I did this, I'm gonna go head out and do something else, you know.
Yeah.
He is actively upholding the universe by the word of his power. This is who God is in his very nature. He is not only the creator, but he is the sustainer, which is why we coupled these two together, right? Like, he's not only the creator. He could have created and walked off and done something else and not given it a second thought. But that is not who he is. He is a creator and the sustainer.
That makes me think of, like, you know, in scripture when it talks about, like, consider the lilies. And like the birds, like, who do you think clothes and feeds them?
Right.
You know, like, it's a constant thing that happens. It's not like a one and done, which is really encouraging. If you deal with like anxiety or stress or whatever, so know, like, man, if he considers the flowers and he feeds the flowers, like, how much more valuable are we? And so I think the doctrine of providence has a really big implication for believers.
Yeah. Especially how much more important, or how much more does he care for us because we are made in his image?
Yeah.
Which is, again, teasing for the next episode.
It's really good.
I'm just putting them all in there. So I really, that you make wanted, sure, like, you listen to
originally,
it.
Originally, I was like, we could have all of this. We could do, you know, creation, providence, humanity, all of it in one episode. And like, as we started teasing it out, I was like, no, we cannot.
No, we can't. No, unless we want a 3-hour podcast.
Exactly. So, like, what to go with what you're saying, you know, what God creates, he also sustains. And his creation is not only dependent upon God for its origin, but also for its continual existence. God upholds all things by his power. We see that in Acts 17. He rules the universe with absolute sovereignty and authority, and he governs everything from the greatest, like you said, us, like his creation, to the smallest. And I was thinking, this just came to me, so hopefully it makes sense. But my son is currently learning about the solar system, and he is like nerding out over it. And it's really adorable when you have like a first grader and like, you're like, oh, like, you know, you're seeing like what intrigues them in the solar system. Like, he was like, I wanted to be an astronaut until I learned that there was black holes. And then now I don't. I was like, okay, Ollie. But he was just learning today about the sun and how it's like in the perfect spot for life. Not too hot, mm-hmm. not too cold, like perfect. And that it is God who is continually sustaining it. Mm-hmm. Our very breath is a continual thing from God. He didn't just create right. us and like we take our first breath and he's done and like our body does the rest. It's a continual existence, continually mm-hmm. breathing life into us is what I would say, which when you think about that, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because of that, like we can rest in God's providence because he has a plan for the world that we cannot thwart. We can't mess up. Like I said, for me who deals with like anxiety, that's really, it's free. It's freeing, you know, it's really encouraging.
Yeah.
Everything will work according to his divine plan. And that does not rest upon us. John Calvin said, the highest blessedness lies in the knowledge of providence. And that's so true. I think we get within the Christian circle, we get really caught up with, I would say, whether you're free will or whether you're reformed or whatever. There's just so mm-hmm. many debates, and truth is both will be in heaven, you know, yes. like you will be spending eternity yes. forever with both of those. It's the silliest thing ever.
Our free will brothers and sisters in yeah. heaven.
Yeah.
Rest assured.
Sometimes I'm just like, it blows my mind. So I'm like, I don't understand why we're debating something that like in the end, we are both going to be spending eternity with Christ.
But some believe that that wouldn't be the case.
Yes. Yes. And so what I just want to say about the doctrine of providence, and I've talked to many people who were like, I can see both sides in scripture. Mm-hmm. Like how does this work? And I just wanted to say, you know, we don't need to try to relieve the tension in scripture. Mm. We're going to rest in it. And rest in the I don't know, which we have said so many times. And I personally hate, I'm a black and white person. I do not want gray. But we have to rest in the I don't know. Like God is sovereign, period. And like both sides will say that God is yeah. sovereign. And scripture also says that man is responsible. Like, mm-hmm. and we're going to rest in that tension of how those two work together. And
right.
I just wanted to say that one little caveat there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's so fitting that as we're going through our reading the Bible, that these two kind of coincided, that we are talking about creation and providence, and that we're reading the story of Joseph, because I think it's one of the clearest stories of God's providence. Mm. And again, spoiler, we're going to spoil the end of the story. So if you don't know, I'm sorry. you've had some time to be able to read the book, but you see in Genesis, I just made Shanna really crack up at that joke. So you couldn't hear her laugh, but I made her really laugh. Anyways,
you've had time to read the book.
We see in Genesis 45, I'm going to read 4-8. It says, then Joseph said to his brothers, please come near me. And they came near. I am Joseph, your brother, he said, the one you sold into Egypt. I'm going to repeat a few things. The one you sold into Egypt. And now don't be grieved or angry with yourselves for selling me here, because God sent me ahead of you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there will be 5 more years without plowing or harvesting. God sent me ahead of you to establish you as a remnant within the land and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. So here Joseph states that both things are true. His brothers sold him into slavery. They had some type of agency that they made a decision to mm-hmm. sell him into slavery. And equally, God brought him to Egypt.
Kristen, that's a perfect example.
I know. That's why I was
man
like, this
is responsible,
so great.
But God is also sovereign.
But God is
so good.
Sovereign that these are both true, but God holds yeah. the ultimate responsibility for bringing Joseph to exactly where he wanted him to fulfill his promises that he had made.
That's so good.
If this famine had continued and Joseph was not in the position that he was, then it could have been, had there not been God's promises, you know, had we not had all of the things that we know about God, it could have wiped out the line of Abraham. Mm-hmm. It was a famine. It was a worldwide famine. Like this thing, it was no joke. We think of like eggs being $7-$8 a dozen right now, but this was like even worse. And so I thought it was so fitting that we are reading this story, and it's such a beautiful picture of what we're talking about God's providence. And we then hear later on, you know, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. It's again, that dual agency, right? That that his brothers had agency. They were able to make the decision to sell him into slavery. It was not that God forced them to do that, but ultimately at the same time, God is ultimately responsible for putting him exactly where he wanted him. We're not going to understand it. I talk about this as if it makes sense in my brain. I promise you without a doubt, it does not. Mm-hmm. I can come to like an okay place in my brain about it, but to truly say that, oh, I understand all the nuances. Like if we were to sit down and you were to continue to ask me question after question about it, there would be a point where I would say, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me either, but that's the God that I serve and love. Because I would rather serve a God that I cannot fully understand everything, because that is what makes him God and what makes me not God. What makes him better than a human is that complexity and the fact that I cannot understand it because I am finite and he is infinite.
And isn't that so interesting though? Like we even see it back in Genesis where we want to know constantly what God is up to and his plan, and we want to understand it all, but then like what kind of God would that be if we did? It would make him just like us,
right? If I can understand him well, I don't know if that's a God that I want to necessarily serve and love. The other thing that this reminded me of is an older song that I learned when I was really young from a school teacher, honestly, is the first one who taught it to me. And it's a song called "This Is My Father's World." And specifically the third verse, I think, is absolutely beautiful when thinking about God and the doctrine of providence. It says, "This is my father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is king. Let the heavens ring. God reigns. Let earth be glad."
That's really good. That's really good. I'm like sitting here, like letting it process in my brain.
Soak.
Yeah.
I think one of my favorite parts of it is that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. Like it doesn't end there, right? The wrong seems so strong in this world, and it is probably going to feel and seem stronger as we go. But God is still the ruler.
He's in control.
In control.
He has the final say.
Yes. This thing has not gone out. It's not, he is not a reactionary God. It's not this person did this. Let me go to plan B. Let me change my plan now. That's how we would do it.
Yeah.
Right. In our human mind, we would say, okay, this is my plan. And then this is who I am. A little insight into who I am. If you know me, whenever there's a difficulty in my life or a potential difficulty or something that I see down the road that I'm like, oh, that could like, I need a plan. I need a contingency plan. I need a contingency plan for my contingency plan. And I need another contingency plan for my contingency plan for my contingency plan.
Nothing can be out of control in Kristen's world.
Well, that's
so true.
But it is all just like, okay, so if this happens, then this is how I could handle and deal with that. But if something happens, like in me handling and dealing with that, well, then I could have this as an option. So I say all of that to say, that's not how God operates.
Yeah. I think to reiterate that, I think one of the things which we will get into Christology, like the doctrine of Christology is coming. We're doing this like in a certain order. But one of the things that blew my mind was like growing up, it was like, oh, man sinned. Therefore, God sent his son. Like Jesus had to die. But right. like Jesus was never plan B.
Right. He was like, plan God, A.
God doesn't have a plan B. He was plan A. And so you're talking about resting in the tension. You're like, huh?
Yeah.
I don't understand. So yeah, we'll get to that with Christology. It'll be fun.
Right. So we have, we won't leave this. This is kind of why we wanted to do one of this first off as well, is because I think we'll continue to refer back to this, right?
Yeah.
God's sovereignty and his providence, mm-hmm. Even in what you were talking about with the, when you were talking about your Bible recap of how God provides, that is within the word providence, right? That he is providing life and breath and yeah. everything. And so we will continue to refer back to this.
But it's really fun because we had this lined up before we knew what we were getting to in our reading plan. So it's so cool.
I know.
Kind of like,
I know. I thought when I was reading through it, I was like, oh, this is like absolutely perfect in how mm-hmm. like the story of Joseph absolutely shows God's sovereignty and providence, and also
man's responsibility.
How man's responsibility and man has agency as well. Yeah, and so yeah.
Yeah. So let's recap, shall we?
Yes,
we shall. So we're saying that the triune God of the Bible, out of an overflow of the perfection of the Trinity, so not needing or wanting anything, the delight in the Godhead poured out this artistic display of goodness and grace. So before sin entered the cosmos, God said it was good. There was beauty and light, not darkness, and order, not chaos. So at the very beginning, everything was really good. And then we know that, you know, we said that out of an overflow of a delight and joy that's within himself, within the Godhead, he spoke things into existence. He didn't just create everything and then back out. He continues to this very day to reign and rule. Colossians 1:17 would say, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's present tense. And in yeah. him all things hold together.
We also know that God upholds the universe by the word of his power. And he holds the world together in himself. God knows all. He is sovereign over all. And he directs all things to their proper end.
It's really good. I think one of the quotes I kind of want to leave with is one by Tim Keller. And when I'm thinking on the doctrine of providence and like living in the tension of God's sovereignty and man's responsibility, I always think of this quote. And he said, if you knew what God knew, as good as he is and as powerful as he is, you'd make the same decisions.
Mm.
And every time I'm like, no, you know, you think to yourself, why is he doing this? Like, no, I won't. I wouldn't, you know, but I'm like, no, if you knew everything, he knows everything, but he sees beginning to end everything. You'd make the same exact decisions that God made,
mm-hmm.
which means that we can rest in him and who he is. That's
wow.
our doctrine of creation and providence. We did it.
Wow, friend. That was good. I don't think I've ever ended one of these and I'm like, that was just okay.
Yeah.
Like that was good.
That was so good. You know what I'm really excited for too? Like we teased it multiple times, but like, our next episode is also really good.
It is really good. Do you want to tell them who?
Yeah, we have? I would love to. So our next episode, we have our friend Nathan Cravat on. He's a pastor in North Carolina, and he's one of the hosts of the Recovering Fundamentalist podcast. And so we have like some very similar background that we'll get into, but we talk about the doctrine of humanity. Some people will say that that is theological anthropology, which is like a really fancy word of the doctrine of humanity. And we're going to focus on the Imago Dei and the implications for that. And it's a really big topic. And I really enjoyed talking to him about it. So that's next time.
It is also the first man that we have on our podcast.
Oh my goodness. That's so, that's right.
We recognize that we went almost an entire year without having a man on the podcast. We
just had to,
you know, establish what we were about first.
I am such a proponent of like brothers and sisters doing theology together. And then Kristen and I were like, we haven't had a dude on here
yet. Yeah. Really, Shanna has been like, we've got to get a guy on here. I was like, why? She was like, because
we got this. But we also have, as we all know, Kristen's getting married in May. And so of May is going to be guests that we have lined up. And we have, like, I'm so pumped.
We have some really, really great guests.
Like, I just want to sit and take notes.
I know. They're like, give us talking points. I'm like, no, you just talk.
You just speak. And we'll just listen.
No, we're really excited for them. We are recording those ahead of time and kind of banking them so that the month of May and probably the 1st of June, we'll be able to put those out. Maybe the end of April. We'll see how it goes. Just as we get closer to my wedding day, I'm getting married at the end of May, and Shanna will be coming out here. And so it will be a lot of busyness, and maybe we'll record an episode in person. Maybe. Who knows? I'm taking that whole week off from work leading up.
Maybe, but also we're celebrating you. And so
I also have high hopes that like it's not going to be stressful.
Oh,
and all the married and all the already married women are laughing their heads off that.
But like I think you also have like people there who are like who love you and like this will be the best day of your life, Kristen. So no, but I'll be there, and I know for sure. I've already been talking to one of your other bridesmaids. I'm like, we got you. We're going to try to shield you as much as we can from any chaos.
Oh, yeah.
So you can just absorb it. And
I know
love
chaos
it.
Is going to happen. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Maybe we'll see. We'll see what happens. Anyways, regardless, we are banking some interviews that are going to be just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Big topics
that we're really, really excited to tackle. Big topics that we chose to kind of farm out. So some of these big topics, you'll be like, oh, I understand why the girls didn't just want to tackle this on their own. Because we're getting some really, really wise and smart people that have spent a lot of time studying these topics. And so we feel like it would be a disservice to you all if we just kind of came in with our knowledge of it and not consulted some that have done a lot of study in it and are much wiser than us.
Yeah. And one final note is I want to direct everyone back to our website. When we have, you know, we keep saying we have like merch there. We're getting a blog up and going there that we're really excited about. There are resources there.
Because
like books that we love.
If you ever wanted more from us, you can read our words instead of listening to them in your ears.
Yeah. But we're also going to have other people.
Yes, into this I know.
Other wise people write for us. Yes. We really have, like, I truly believe that the Lord has been so kind to us, and we have really big hopes and dreams for this. And the Lord has gifted you and I very differently, but brought us together where you are very, like, very real, like, realistic, like, practically speaking, how does this work? But you're also a counselor. And so the Lord, you have so much to speak into that realm with counseling. And the Lord has just gifted me with like writing and like curriculum. And so I have big dreams for us that we can offer. Because our goal and our heart is really just to equip other people to serve their church, right? Or to serve the people around them and love their neighbors. And so that's where we're headed. We want to equip you to do the work of the Lord. And so check out our website what is it? Grow in Grace
podcast.com.
Grow
in Grace.
You always do this part.
I know. I'm the one that does
say that again. What is it?
Grow in Grace podcast.com.
So easy. Why don't I remember that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I do know that if you haven't been on our website, you should, just to read about the our about us, because here in a few months I'm going to have to change and update mine. I've already been given instructions by my fiance that he expects,
and me. I even said that
he expects,
you're no longer a single millennial.
Right. He expects an updated picture, not one with me and my brothers, but one with me and him. And then I have to update that I'm no longer a single millennial. So I'll have to wax eloquent about Matthew. So
easy job. Easy job.
The less, it's true. He's great. And I love him.
Oh my gosh. Can we record, guy? You heard it here first. Not that she loves him, but that she like verbally said that out loud to people.
I mean, I feel like it's a given, but
I know Kristen doesn't share feelings. Anyways,
okay, we've gone off the rails here.
We're done. Okay,
sorry,
hey,
you're done.
I love you, and it was a great episode, and the next one's really great too. So,
yes. Until next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.